Good Wednesday evening to you, and welcome into Smashville Live. A smooth start to this hour. Darren McFarland, Hal Gill, a.k.a. Skillsy. We're here at Brewhouse South in Coolsville. There was a couple yoo-hoos.
I got a woo.
You got a woo and a couple, you know. Yeah, Skillsy in the house. This has got to be the largest, the tallest radio show.
Easily.
Hour in radio. Bringing the
big
history,
sexy,
right?
You're bringing the big sexy, and you know, that's what happens.
So, Michael McCarron, Dante Fabro alongside for the ride. The fans here. We got stuff to give away. Don't go anywhere. We've got tickets for tomorrow night. Yes, the home opener against the Stars. There's a lot going on. Plus, swag. Who doesn't love swag? Skillsy's what, 6'7?
6'7.
6'7.
Yeah.
Michael, you're just a skosh below, right? 6'6", probably?
Yeah, I'm 6'6". Yep.
6'6"
and a
half?
I think he's lying, though. I think he's fabricating that. You know?
I keep growing. I got to stop at some point.
It's a big unit right there.
He is a big man. Dante, we'll just go for radio purposes, 6'5",
yeah.
Right?
Yeah,
we'll go 6'5".
Sure.
I'm 6'4", so let's just go with it, right? let's just start with... Hal loves to talk about the offseason. Yeah, what do you guys do? You're human beings. You're professional athletes, but you have lives. How was the offseason? What did you guys do over the summer?
I guess I can go first. I actually went back home for about 3 weeks in Vancouver just to kind of unwind and relax with some family. Brought my dog back. So got him acclimated with the rest of my family. And then
what kind of dog do you have?
I got a chocolate lab.
All right.
What's his name?
Cash.
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 Yeah, I saw it on Instagram. Cutest thing ever.
He's
it's growing up, though, isn't
almost
he?
A year old. He's about 110 pounds right now.
Oh, my.
I was not expecting that, to be honest.
Energy for days, I'm assuming?
Yeah, he's been pretty good. He's at training right now, which is good because, I mean, you know how ragged they can run, but... he's doing well. And then actually after Vancouver, we had Ryan Johansson's 30th birthday party. So we did a golf trip to Payne's Valley. And that was pretty much my whole summer. And I just spent the rest of it back here.
Who's the better golfer?
Johansson. I think he still takes the reins for the best golfer on the team.
Yeah, well, he does have a putting green in his house. Yeah. So that kind of doesn't count.
Yeah, he's cheating.
All right. Well, that sounds like a lot of fun. Michael, what did you do?
Yeah, no, my sister got married in Ireland this summer.
Oh, well, that so doesn't stink.
Yeah, I went over to Ireland for a week and a half. She got married at Adair Manor where they're having the 2027 Ryder Cup, so it's pretty fancy.
Nice.
It was cool to be over there, and I was able to golf there a couple times, so that was fun. And obviously, at the beginning of the summer, my brother played for the Florida Everblades, and they went to the finals, and they ended up winning it, so I was able to be there for my brother to cheer him on, and they ended up winning it when I was there, so that was a fun time as well. So good summer for me. Obviously, other than that, just working on my game.
As I
working on the game. So going into this season, you guys came in, I feel like there was a ton of excitement. It didn't end the way you guys wanted it last year, but coming into the season with a shortened training camp, you know, you added some pieces to the team. I'm excited about the season. I know a lot of people here have already told me they're excited about the season. But in that locker room, what does it feel like? You guys had a shortened training camp, so it's kind of bang, bang, boom, let's go, and then you're off to Europe. But the excitement going into the season, going into that training camp, can you explain that to us?
Yeah, I mean, I think first and foremost, that was not an easy training camp. I think it definitely got us prepared for, you know, the season and everything, but... I think just the feel in the locker room, the guys are excited. I mean, adding two veteran guys that, you know, in their own mind have done some great things in this league. And, you know, McDonough winning a couple cups and, you know, with Nino being the guy he is, it's been a lot of fun. And I think you can see and get a bit of a taste of, you know, what they bring to this team. And so it's going to be a great year. And we've definitely added a ton of depth.
So it's radio. I want to know why you kind of chuckle when that's like. So this was really a tough training. Like, well, you
yeah,
said that, right?
They let it slide by.
Yeah,
but,
he was like,
said, "Was it a tough training camp?" They both kind of.
Yeah.
Oh,
boy.
It was.
You hit the ground running, didn't you?
Yeah, we did.
Yeah. So
wasn't easy.
The elaborating, it was tough, right?
Yeah.
They amped it up.
Yeah, they did for sure. I mean, a big emphasis. Like we had a couple meetings. sitting down just before training camp, just like you had said, we had shortened schedule, so every day was just that that much more important, and we want to make sure we were obviously ready for everything that was thrown our way. And you look at our team now and what we've been able to do so far at the start of the season, I think you can see just how well conditioned and how dialed in the guys are.
And I've asked Skillsy this because he spent so long in the league, and everybody's different when you're eliminated. One, let's just start there. Do you watch or do you don't care what happens once you're done?
I'm a hockey fan, like, at heart. So, I watched the playoffs. Obviously, it stinks seeing the team that beat you go all the way. So, that obviously hurts a little bit, but you want to watch to see what makes them successful, and you're on the same ice as they were. They beat us out, which still stinks even now. But you got to see what they do that makes them successful even deeper in the playoffs, and see if we beat them again, how we're going to beat them. So for me, I'm a bit of a hockey guy, like hockey nerd, I'd say, and I watch a lot of hockey even during the year. So I was watching it, but sometimes you gotta switch channel. Biting your nails, and
I always said it was like watching someone kiss my girlfriend.
Yeah,
right?
That's exactly.
I'm supposed to be doing that. I'm supposed to be in the Stanley Cup Finals, yeah. Not you.
Yeah, that's a great way to put it.
It's tough.
Yeah.
It's tough, but you got to watch it, like you said.
Yeah,
that's interesting. So, you during the season, you will watch. If you guys are like last night, are you watching Vegas and L.A.?
Oh yeah, yeah. I was watching a game. We're gonna play them at some point. Everybody's still trying to grow their game a little bit. Like, a lot of guys don't watch hockey, and that's fine. They try to get away from it. But for me, it's like, I got to watch hockey. See, while I'll watch centers or wingers and see how they, like, the best centers and the wingers in the game, see what they do to make them successful, and I see where they're on the ice. And, like us, we'll watch hockey in a different way. We'll watch, like, where they go on the forecheck and things like that, not just the goals and the SportsCenter top 10 type thing. So, it's just like watching film on yourself.
When you watch, you're sitting there watching the finals, and you're taking it in, is there something that kind of triggers you, like, that you say, all right, I got to be better at this? And this is an individual question, not just the team thing, but what do you need to work on in the summer? Because I always had one key thing. I'm like, all right, I got to work on my my stick skills. I never had them, but I still worked on them. Foot skills, whatever it is. Is there something that you took out of it when you're watching that? I got to be better this way.
Yeah, I think every off season it's a chance to obviously improve in all aspects of your game, and I think every guy's different. For myself, I think a big emphasis this year was my foot speed and getting faster on the ice, and I feel great on the ice, but how it is, it's a work in progress, and it's a thing you gotta kind of work every day. I think, like you said, it's just, it really depends on, the player you are, your position and everything. But it's tough during the year to really, work on those things. So, you got to go out early to practice or stay out later to do all that. But I don't know. I think you guys take, like, draws at the end of practice. And
yeah.
As the D, go on the other end and just do one timer.
Yeah. So for
nothing,
me,
nothing too productive.
Like last year, I kind of got rinsed on faceoffs in the playoffs, which is time where you need to be winning big faceoffs. So, like, obviously, that was a big key for mine.
Yeah.
Penalty killing, obviously, discipline, staying out of the penalty box is a huge thing for me as well. Foot speed. You see the guys that make it to the finals, like, they're third, fourth lines. They're fast.
It's a fast game.
They're just as good as just as fast as their top two lines. So it's another thing that I always look for. And if you're not the fastest guy, you got to be smart. So I'll watch guys like Kopitar, who's not the fast guy, but he's so smart. He's always in the right position and see where he goes in the forecheck and in the D zone, where he goes, where he supports, things like that. Where could definitely help my game.
I know, look, it's a long run, and that's what we love about the Stanley Cup playoffs, right? It's hard. You guys have been there. It's hard, and you never know how it's going to play out. But as players, when you go up against a team and you see them and you go through a series with them, if they stand out where they're that good, and in this case a sweep, like, do you come away going, that team's going to win it? Or how do you feel? Like, I want to know what players think whenever you go up against a team that – look the way that they did. And oh, by the way, they did it to everybody all the way to the end.
Yeah.
So what do you think as players when you go up against them? What did you think of Colorado?
I think when you look back after you play them and you kind of go through the series and, you know, the year that they were having, you know, with, you know, individuals and their team, yeah, I mean, I think after they eliminated us, I think they were just going to cruise on to the
That's the way you felt?
Honestly, yeah. Yeah. That's literally how I felt.
Interesting.
I wish the outcome was different with us and made it a bit more of a series, but... I think it's we're going to make it a lot harder on teams this year for sure. And, you know, we're going to definitely try and make that push to get there. And I know the last couple of years hasn't been too promising in playoffs for us. But, you know, a big focus this year is, you know, getting through that first round and continuing on. But, you know, the season's a grind. It's a long one. It's an 82-game season. So a big part of that is guys staying healthy and, you know, fit to play.
Michael, did you feel the same way as Dante?
Yeah, absolutely. When they swept us, I mean, we had a hard to play against team, like physical, hard-nosed style of game, and I wouldn't. Yeah, I mean, they beat us in four straight games, and I never would have thought a team would beat us in four straight games. So it was like it's kind of an eye opener, and you know, I definitely had that feeling. I was like, this team's gonna win it. I mean, you play every team too in the league throughout the year as well, and I was appalled by how well they played against us in the first round.
It's funny. We try to hit them and kind of bowl them around, and they would skate away from everything.
Yeah.
And it almost like...
They didn't want to get
almost,
into a
fight. It almost shocked us.
Yeah.
Like, a little bit. Like, you know, after whistles, like, you know, with us last year, we were just trying to, you know, get in guys' faces and whatnot and try and drag guys into the box. But, yeah, it just seemed like they skated away from everything. And, you know, no matter what we did, wasn't working. But, yeah, credit to them. I mean, they're a great team and obviously Stanley Cup champions.
You guys wanted to pull them in the deep end. They weren't willing to go in the deep end, were they?
No.
Like a big
maybe brother. Maybe not me so much, but some of the Big Mac and some of the other boys.
No, but I think that's important that you learn from that. You go through and you say, okay, that's the level they're playing at. We got to get to that level, and that's why I asked you in the offseason, you keep working. Okay, well, how are we going to handle this? And you learn from every experience you have. So I think, you know, you learn from that, and you're coming back, and, you know, I think you guys have a great team going forward. So. Something to build on.
Yeah.
Let's come back. Let's talk about the experience over in Switzerland. Let's talk about the experience in Prague. Let's talk about the 2-0 start to the NHL season.
Not a bad start, boys.
Not a bad start at all. By the way, I want to thank our wonderful sponsors, too. Spring Hill Heating and Cooling, Superbook Sports, and Little Harpeth Beer. Here we're live. This is Smashville Live here at Brewhouse South in Cool Springs. By the way, if you're coming through the doors, get a raffle ticket. We got swag. We got tickets to give away. You don't want to go anywhere. We've got Dante Fabro, Michael McCarron here, Darren McFarland, and Hal Gill. We'll take a short break. Be back. More hockey talk here on Smashville Live, 102.5 The Game, 106.3. We're back here on Smashville Live. We're live here at Brewhouse South in Cool Springs. It's on the backside of Cool Springs Galleria, if you're not familiar with the area. Darren McFarland, Hal Gill, defenseman Dante Fabro, Michael McCarron alongside here until 7 o'clock. You've got opportunity to come in here, win some tickets to tomorrow night's tilt, a 7:30 start. Keep that in mind if you will be in Bridgestone Arena tomorrow night against the Stars, the home opener, a 7:30 puck drop. And with all that being said.
Extra half hour nap, right, boys?
That's nice. Yeah. It's always a treat.
Speaking of treats, it was a treat probably to go over to Switzerland and Prague to start off your season, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's always special going over to Europe, and especially going to, I think Switzerland was definitely a really cool experience for myself. I had been to Prague before a couple of times, but getting to see Jost's hometown and Nino back in Switzerland as well. So,
is that a hockey thing, by the way, not to jump in? Like, I feel like everybody's been I didn't realize how many people have been to Prague.
Yeah.
What were you over there for?
Hockey. It was just for international stuff.
Okay.
So either we're playing.
You had a World Junior over there, right?
Or U18. Well, it was in Breklav, but we do like a day trip to Prague and go tour the city and stuff like that. So nothing too crazy, but yeah, I mean, both cities are amazing, but the amount of people to show up for Nino and Jost was probably one of the coolest things I've ever been a part of, to be honest.
Just legend. Just
it was unbelievable.
Swiss royalty,
it
huh?
It was just unbelievable.
Okay, so you've been there. Roger Federer steps down. So the
guy right now.
I mean, he was Yossi, Switzerland. Right? Now is Roman Yossi? You saw
Mr.
it with your own eyes.
Mr. Oh, yeah.
He's Mr. Switzerland.
He's Switzerland. He's the king.
Yeah, he's got a It's the respect that the people have for him is outstanding. And I mean, going into those games, like the fan base there in Bern was incredible. I mean, they would. The starting lineups when they would say his first name and then the entire crowd would scream Yossi.
It's amazing.
Yeah, it was really cool to see.
Just so you know, it came through television and radio. It was amazing.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Yes,
oh, yeah.
You could feel it.
Yeah. Yeah, it was.
They didn't stop chanting the whole game.
And they do. The, and they build it up too. It's like a. Right. Yeah. Yeah. They build it up. It's a scene over there.
Yeah. No. They. It's like a. It's almost like you're in a. It's a soccer game. You know, those crazy soccer games and like
hooligans.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
They, a lot of they chanting, got the flags,
and they got the drums and everything. It's a really cool atmosphere to be a part of.
So you've probably never experienced anything like that. And by the way, you've
actually,
done
Spengler Cup would be my only one.
Okay.
Oh, that's right. That's an amazing tournament.
That's in Switzerland too.
Yeah.
In Davos.
Yeah.
So, and you've been a part of some really cool experiences since you've been here. I mean, Winter Classic in Dallas, Stadium Series here, and I mean. Playing in front of monster, 80,000, 70,000. But that's just a little bit different. I mean, that's like you said, I don't think that was even like, that's like going into like soccer. I mean, you are in Europe, so it felt like a soccer match.
Yeah.
Stadium Series here was unbelievable.
It was unbelievable.
But, like, we went really to Switzerland, and it was for like Jos and Nino, where it was like more of like a heartfelt kind of thing. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
It was just like over the top there for those guys.
Macker, when you're seeing Roman Yossi score his second goal, you're like, come on, you got right?
I mean, you knew he was going to.
I'm pretty sure
you just knew it. And you're such like, why wouldn't you get a hat trick? Like, why wouldn't that happen?
I'm pretty sure you got a phantom assist that game too. We were talking about it in the locker room. He's like, I didn't even touch the puck.
Yossi, just give it to Yossi.
But he was, from what I've seen. In the locker room and around the guys, he was super appreciative. That meant a lot to him, I think. And he came out and said that as much.
Yeah, I mean, it meant a lot to us, too. I think, you know, there's no way we wanted to drop that game, especially in his hometown and us coming over. So.
And you guys talked about that, right?
Yeah.
Like, you're like, we can't lose this game.
No. No. Yeah, it was.
Exhibition or not.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yossi made sure of that, too.
Yeah. Yeah, he just took over. Yeah. But it's tough. What's that?
Yeah, there it is. Yeah. That's what it sounded like on radio.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it was quite loud on in person. It actually startled me.
Why are they yelling at us?
Yeah.
I wasn't even playing. I was in the stand, and I was like, oh, my God. I even got the chills on like in my arms. It's unbelievable.
Yeah. Very, very cool.
So I was when I was playing for Pittsburgh in 08, we went over and went to Stockholm, did the same thing. There's like that, those days in between moving on from Switzerland, you go on to Prague, like you have some downtime there. You had a day in Switzerland after, right?
No, we had a day in Prague.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you had some downtime.
Yeah, we had,
Did you guys have anything structured as a team, or was it kind of go take it in as you know, walk around the city and take it in yourself?
Well, I think it was funny. We landed and a few guys found the only sports bar in town to go watch football for a fantasy.
Oh, you so could find all, it.
It was a Sunday.
You could find it over
there. It was like a Sunday.
Okay.
It was like we were all like locked into our fantasy apps and just we were offering trades and it was hectic. But we found the only spot that actually played the football games and hung out there for a bit, a couple team dinners, and that was really it. I think Yossi and Nino had some plans with their families and stuff like that, so obviously let them go see and enjoy the time back home.
It's a business trip, right? I mean, you do have business to take care of. Is it hard to get, I mean, those games counted once you got to Prague. Like, that was your season. Was it hard to re-engage? Like, you're over there, you're doing all these cool things, and then, oh, by the way, these two games count. Yeah. Was that hard or easy?
Yeah, I mean, we go back to training camp. I think we went through, 7-8 very hard days that got us prepared for that. So, I mean, I think all the boys were ready and prepared no matter where we were in the world. So I mean,
did the time change
oh,
mess
yeah.
with you?
Oh, it's
because that's hard to.
It's boys real. Were up to like 2-3 in the morning, couldn't go to sleep.
It killed me. But one day I fell asleep at 10, woke up at 11, didn't fall asleep till like 4.
Yeah.
Woke up an hour later, and it was a disaster for a little bit.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, you're trying to get ready.
Yeah.
You know, you got to perform here. You got to get your act together.
Yeah. So, it definitely plays a part, but you got to try and get your sleep when you can.
Yeah. So you did. You guys came out. How would you assess the two games? You come away with 4 points, but overall, what did you think of your play?
I thought it was good. I mean, I think looking back at the first game, we came out really strong. But again, we got into a little bit of penalty troubles, which Coach had talked about and kind of addressed to our team. So I think a big part of our team this year is going to be trying to stay out of the box and playing more 5-on-5. Because you see how good our team can be 5-on-5. And it's more to an advantage with us playing 5-on-5 and obviously on the power play. But I thought the first two games were great. And San Jose definitely came out. They were a different team in the second game. But, again, it was probably wasn't the prettiest win our second game. But, again, we found ways to win and come home with 2 points. So it was huge to get those two games and under our belts and kind of get the season kicked off on the right foot.
What was the atmosphere like in Prague? That's a cool building, O2 Arena.
It was cool. It wasn't as electric as Bern.
Yeah,
I would say. It was packed though. You could see how passionate the fans are with hockey, and which was cool to see. But I would say the atmosphere was turned up a couple notches in Bern for sure.
And that was on a smaller rink too. What was it like playing on that big ice surface in Bern? Like that's. Playing an NHL game, you're an NHL player playing on the big surface. I know I've gone to world championships. The game changes.
Yeah.
We had a practice the day before.
Oh.
We're going up and down the ice.
Yeah, yeah.
How long is this ice here? Come on. Like, come on, coach. Like, call it quits after 10 minutes. Yeah. I'm like,
Guys were hurled over.
Yeah.
It was just after the long plane ride, too. So I think it was the next day. So, I mean, you got to get up and get moving because – if you don't do anything, you're going to be sleeping all day.
Yeah.
And it's just not the thing to do. So the first skate, it honestly wasn't a hard practice, but it was very hard just for getting your legs moving again. And, I guess guys were just huffing and puffing a little bit, but I guess it got us ready for the games. And it does make a difference with that big ice. It's a lot more skating, that's for sure. And then we went over to when we played San Jose, back to the NHL size, it felt like, you barely took,
crammed in.
You took two strides and you're touching wall to wall.
I have to ask you, Boro's throwing chainsaw lefts. And your Europeans, for those who don't know, it's like there's not a lot of fight. If you get in a fight, I think most of Europe, you're kicked out of the next game. It's like a suspension for fighting. And so they're not used to seeing that. They must have jaws dropped. Like, whoa, this is intense. That was a pretty good tilt.
Yeah, he did. He did a good job. I mean, any fight Boro goes into, I feel bad for the other guy, honestly.
Scary dude.
Yeah. Why are you doing that?
Comes in with rights and then finishes with lefts. And he's even better with his left hand.
I know. What do you want, kid? You want rights or lefts?
Yeah. poor kid doesn't even know what he's walking
into. Yeah, not good. All right, we'll step away. More people would like to get some pictures. We've got stuff to give away. We'll come back, continue the discussion as we are live here at Brewhouse South in Cool Springs. This is Smashville Live on 102.5 The Game and 106.3. We're back here on this Wednesday evening, Smashville Live here at Brewhouse South in Cool Springs. Darren McFarland, Hal Gill, a.k.a. Skillsy, Dante Fabro, and Michael McCarron. I want to thank our great sponsors, Spring Hill Heating and Cooling, Superbook Sports, and Little Harpeth Beer. Beyond the Glass. So you guys had a lot of cameras following you guys around, or training camp Beyond the Glass. So one, what was the experience? And you guys have done this before around the big events that we've just talked about. But Michael, I want to start with you because I thought... I told Skillsy this. I just thought it was refreshing, and I kind of feel like I'm talking for a lot of the fans. You're in a situation, you know, where you're trying to make this team. You played a lot last year with this team. You're a great story. You had an awesome season. By the way, you were probably ticked you didn't get to play San Jose. I think you had like a 4-point game last year against San Jose.
That's what I told the coaches. I was like, oh, you guys want me to get paid next year or what?
But you said, hey, you know, I'm just paraphrasing. I don't remember your exact quote, but it was like, hey, I know I'm just going to give my best and hope everything works out. If it doesn't, it doesn't. But, you know, this is where I want to be, and I'm just going to do the best I can. Like I said, I'm paraphrasing, but I thought that was a refreshing approach.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I've been in this situation my whole career. Coming into camp, I've always been one of those bubble guys. And, you know, I obviously showed the staff and the coaching staff and everything what I can bring to the table as a player. And, you know, I came into camp ready to go, and I just played the same way I can play. You know, I'm, you know, that fourth line center wing that can, you know, win face-offs, kill penalties, and, you know, fight when it needs to happen. So I thought I showed that, and that was my approach coming into camp the whole time. Like, I show what I can do, and if they want me, they do. And luckily enough, I'm still here with the boys, and we have a great group of guys that obviously, you know, I was a call-up last year, and they made me feel at home right away. And, you know, I love playing for these guys, and I think everybody on our team would say the same thing. They go through a wall for anyone on our team. So, you know, I love this group, and I'm just happy to be here and continue to grow my game as well. So I'm still young. I'm 27. I can still get better at my craft and, you know, sharpen my sword, so to say.
It's clear they like you, but it's also clear to me your body language says you like it here. Is that a fair statement?
Yeah, I love it here in Nashville. You guys are awesome. I love playing here.
Purump.
Yeah. Thanks, guys. Yeah, the fans here are awesome. They've supported me as well. And you know, Olivia and I, we love living here.
Quite the nickname.
Yeah. You know, I think it came out of one of those San Jose games. They started calling me Big Sexy after that. So, you know, it's been great for me so far. And like I said, as a bubble guy, still even, you know, being on the outside looking in, you still got to continue to get better and sharpen your sword. So it's great. It's great. Great coaches here that do help you get better every day, even if you're not in the lineup. So. Happy to be here. I'm happy to be not necessarily a reserve player, but I'll be ready when they call upon me.
Yeah, no, I was just talking with your situation, Dante, you know, McDonough gets signed and you're saying, okay, how does that – I've been in that situation. You go, okay, how does that play out for me? I feel like after two games watching what you've done, you're joining the rush more. You're attacking more. Feel like your offensive side has come up a little more. You had a nice, beautiful play.
Saucy. It was saucy.
So saucy to Niederreiter.
I learned that from you, Skills.
Yeah. The sauce off the glass, but no. But you, I feel like maybe, although you're probably looking at it in the offseason going, all right, okay, how does this play out? It felt pretty good the first two games. You had a huge impact on both of those games.
Yeah, I think, like, I know with McDonough coming in, I mean, that's a huge acquisition for our team. Like, he's, you know, a cup-winning guy, and he's just a veteran presence in our team, and his play is unreal. So I think just heading into this season, I kind of looked at it as every year. Like, I want to earn my spot, and, you know, if – you know how it is, depending on how you play, and if anything, you can maybe move up the lineup, move down the lineup, or whatever it is, but you can never look too far ahead. So I think my mindset was just kind of take it day by day and game by game, and you know, just not take anything for granted. So just trying to continue to push to be better. And I thought I've had a good start so far, but it's a long season, so there's peaks and valleys of everything and of every year, and so just got to kind of keep your head screwed on right and stay focused throughout the season.
And you had a chance to play with Lazan, or start off with Borowiecki, then you moved to your partner as Lazan. You're pretty familiar with both those guys, so kind of an easy transition there?
Yeah, I mean, both players are great to play with, so it's – I don't think it's hard to switch back and forth or anything like that. I mean, we all read well off each other. We talk a lot on the ice, and you know, as a D-man, that's probably the the biggest thing is just a little bit of communication can go a long way on the ice and makes everything easy out there. So, I think just off the ice, we've been talking a lot about small things and, areas we can obviously get better as a unit. And, I thought we've been doing really good.
As a defensive nerd, I have to ask you, you're watching McDonough. You've seen what he's done. I remember watching him in New York.
Yeah.
Just the way he kills penalties, block shots, his positioning. I was always learning from him. He was on another team. Now he's on your team. What have you taken away from him, and what has he brought to the team?
Well, he's always in the right spot at the right time.
Yeah.
It seems no matter how good the player is on the ice, on the opposing team, he's right in their face, taking away time and space, gaps. His stick is unreal. And you look on the penalty kill, I think he wore about four or five shots.
Yeah.
That second game against San Jose. So, he's a fearless leader. And, I think that has a snowball effect through our team. And you're going to start to see that, I think, as the season progresses. And, with guys sacrificing in, different areas, not just penalty kill, but, in all aspects of playing a game. And, it starts with those kind of guys. And kind of trickles through the team, so it's obviously great to see and great to learn off of.
You guys have built that culture, though. You had that before McDonough got here. Both of you are great shot blockers. Like, and I always make fun of you, Dante, when you're limping off the ice after blocking four shots, and I get a good chuckle out of it because I'm not doing it anymore. Yeah. But you guys, I know how it feels, and you hate it, but you love it at the same time. But you guys have that culture. Macker, I know you're one of the guys that just loves watching guys block, and you want to get out there to block a shot. You guys have that culture now. That's got to be fun knowing that everyone's buying in. And it happened the first two games. You guys were whatever you can do to win a game. And it came down to the end. Everyone was blocking shots at the end to win that game.
Yeah, I think it comes down to, our leadership and our bench. I think if you see one guy do it, the next guy is going to do it, and if the next guy doesn't do it, he won't be playing.
And if someone throws a flamingo out there, then
he won't be playing anymore. Yeah,
exactly.
The guys won't.
That's a broken foot.
He won't respect them. And I think it comes down to our leadership and our coaches. I mean, we have that team camaraderie, and whether it comes down to fights, block shots, goals. I mean, you come back to the bench, everybody's giving you a fist and way to go, good job, man. And it trickles down, that's for sure.
Dante, ever since you wrapped up college and you joined the team right away, so you've been here ever since. When you win a Norris, you probably think the players peaked when they win, a big-time award. How could you even imagine thinking about the season that we all witnessed last year with Roman Josi?
Dante's going to have one just like that.
He's never, Gilsey, he's never went through the jungle, huh? Yeah. He's never played any games in the jungle, right to the NHL.
What, Silver Spooner.
Yeah.
Come on.
What was it like to, see that firsthand? I mean, both of you. I mean, to see the season he put in, especially at the position you play, and you had a front row seat to it.
How do you even put words to that? I mean, was it 96 points as a D-man? Was about to break Bobby Orr's record. And I mean, he had a couple games at the end there with no points, and which was a little bit disappointing, but
because he's averaging about three a game.
Yeah. Well, I think he had like there's a five game stretch where he had like three or more points.
Yeah.
And I was like,
and he missed
what is going on? What is going on?
And he missed them. He had a couple backdoor tap-ins that someone should have put in and missed on.
I mean, you see the work he puts in every day. So honestly, for us now, it's not even surprising. We just kind of expect that from Jost, and no matter what game it is, he's. He's a game changer.
He does it in practice, too, which is crazy.
Yeah. Oh, he dances, guys, in practice.
Oh, yeah. If he's up, I'm not going.
Yeah. So, he's one of the most competitive guys I think I've ever met. So, just with him being our leader, and, he leads the charge every single night. And, guys love to follow him. So, for me to get to see that and play alongside him last year was a lot of fun. And I think as the season progresses and guys just saw him kind of shooting for all these records and whatnot, I think, we wanted to give him the puck. We wanted to, give him that chance to, try and beat all these things, but in the right way. And I thought we were still playing well while we were doing it. And, so happens, obviously unfortunate with him not being able to win the Norris last year, but yeah,
it's rigged.
Yeah, I know. Pretty good competition.
As I say, it was unfair for somebody to lose between those two.
Yeah,
McCarron, you know, I mean, they both deserved it.
Two of the top D-men in the league, so it's you can't go wrong with picking either guy. But I would have loved to see Yost win that last year. I think just with the season and the you know, the amount of points he had last year was just surreal.
A lot of fans, and we'll take a break and we'll come back and let you guys answer this, are wanting to know, and Hal and I have heard this question from the fans, is this team, you know, the acquisitions, is this team better than last year's team? And if so, how much better? But you guys, we want you to answer.
They're living it.
You tell us. Yeah, you're living it. You tell us on the other side, is this team better than last year's team and why? And if so, how much better? All right, we'll do
don't
that
answer it now.
On the other side. Let them think about it. Let them go take some pictures.
It's called a tease.
It's a tease. We'll come back. We want everybody to come back and listen to the final segment. As you are listening to Smashville Live, we're live here at Brewhouse South in Cool Springs, here on 102.5 The Game and 106.3. We're having a lot of fun here on this Wednesday evening at Brewhouse South in Cool Springs. It's Smashville Live. Darren McFarland and Hal Gill, a.k.a. Skillsy. Defenseman Dante Fabro and forward Michael McCarron along for the ride. We've had a lot of fun. Chase McCabe, our on-site engineer, who's been doing a lot of juggling of fire and swords and everything else, trying to make all this happen. But you wouldn't know that in Radio Land. We sound fine. Everything's good. He's been sweating for most of the show, but
that's what happens when you're a suit, you know. And
it's a lot of pressure. It's a lot of pressure.
He's a big deal. Big responsibility.
Lots of responsibility. So let's answer, guys, the question that everybody wants to know, because, as Hal said, you guys are living it. So your answer is going to be better than all of us that are just, you know, going off training camp and what we think in the first two games of the regular season, but everybody wants to know, you know, Ryan McDonagh, Nino Niederreiter, is this team better than last year's team? And if so, how much better?
Yeah, absolutely. I think this team's a lot better. I think, you know, we had another year with Heinze behind the bench and learning his systems. And, you know, going through training camp and going through video recently, it's like today Heinze said, like even watching video, it's we look like a lot faster team. We're breaking the puck out. We're a lot faster in the D zone. We know our D zone systems, and we're a lot faster coming out, a lot cleaner. Obviously, adding Nino and McDonagh on the back end there, it's like you had some winners. You had a goal scorer in Nino. You know, our top six. You know, they're dangerous every time they're on the ice. You can see it in our first two games. Both lines are humming. I mean, every time they're on the ice.
Joe and Nino are connecting right now too, which is great to see.
Yeah, I mean, and you go in our bottom six, you got the Hurd line, and then our fourth line, you know, you got Glasser and you got Smitty and Sherwood or Tolvanen. I mean, everybody's playing quick, and you know, I think our defense are unbelievable. I think our defense is, you know, we got top of the league.
Yeah,
yeah, mm-hmm. I think
yeah, for sure.
And then you got Juice backing us up. I think we're head and toes, you know, ahead over where we were last year for sure. I think, you know, if you want to go based on standings, I think we finished in the top two, three of our division for sure. I think we're a hard team to play against. We got a big forward group. You know, we're relentless on the puck. We hunt the puck. I think you can only go up from last year. And like I said, another year with Heinze under, you know, behind our bench and learning his systems, you can only get better.
We have a lot of really good pieces, and we just added two great pieces. And I think now it's just up to the players and to put the product out on the ice. And obviously it puts a little pressure on us, but, you know, pressure's good in our sport, and I think it pushes guys to be better than, you know, what they're expecting of themselves even sometimes. So, yeah, I think we're just excited to get this thing kind of rolling here and get into the thick of things.
Yeah, we had another thing, Sanford too. He's another cup winner from St. Louis. So it's like, you got me and him waiting in the bushes, and you know, Boro or Losey are coming
ready to come
out
over the top.
Yeah, right. It's like, you know, we're a deep, strong, physical team, and we're hard to play against. And you can see that last year, and I think it's going to be the same thing this year.
You guys talked about John Hines coming in. It was tough for him. He had, like, a broken training camp, then, a partial reboot, and then, you know, like, and even now it's a short training camp. But you guys understand his system. I feel like, and correct me if I'm wrong, he's an honest coach. Yeah. And so right away, when someone's honest with you, you're like, okay, whoa, that's a lot of honesty. He's right in my face. But now you know what he expects. Yeah. How much easier is it this year knowing what he expects and going out and trying to execute?
Yeah, I mean, it definitely makes things easier when you understand everything and understand what he wants from you. I think he's done a great job just sitting down with every player and really telling us each what he expects and moving forward. So I think he's a big guy on trust and respect. So I think that's only earned through hard work and, you know, being consistent out there. I think that's something I maybe lacked a little bit over the last couple of years is consistency in my games. So, yeah, I think.
How do you change that, Dante?
Playing better.
Well, I'll help Dante.
Okay.
As a young defenseman, you know, you go through each level, and correct me if I'm wrong, I don't want to speak on your behalf, but you go and you say, okay, I'm playing college, I figured that out. You turn pro and you're like, okay, I know where I'm at, and then you try to take the next level and you're like, whoa, too much, back it off. You're trying to find that happy medium of what you're capable of. But at the same time, you want to grow your game. And I think Dante's been going to Macker. You've been doing the same thing. You know, you want to give more. You want to be you want to take it to the next level, but you also don't want to outgrow your role. You have to play your role.
What Heinze's the best at. Like for me, it's so black and white. He tells you what you are. You know, you're going to be a face-up guy. You're going to kill penalties.
Yeah.
You're going to play 10 minutes a night. Like, that's what your role is. And don't try to toe-drag a guy at the blue line.
You know what I mean?
Like, that's why he's such a good coach.
And at some point, he might expand your role.
Exactly.
But that's the conversation you're going to have, and you have to balance that.
You understand your part on the team.
Yeah.
You know, and everyone, no matter how small or big your role is, everyone has a crucial part in the role to play over a season and the course of a playoff. So I think he's done a great job in explaining that to everyone. And, you know, it's – Like you said, I mean, you've been through the whole thing. There's a lot of injuries throughout the year, so guys are going to be asked to step up, and you know, roles will change and whatnot. And you know, it's a long season, so you're going to see how things kind of unfold. But yeah, I think so far it's been pretty seamless with how he's been able to operate the team, and coming to the rink has been a blast every day. So we've been having a lot of fun at the rink. And like Max said, our group is pretty special to be around, and it's definitely a fun group and makes you want to come and work hard at the rink every day.
Okay, we got about a minute left. You saw a Preds fan come up to Skillsy during the break, had pictures with him holding up Lord Stanley, 2009 with the Penguins. He's signing autographs. Do you guys let yourself think about what you would do? I mean, we've seen Colorado, the pictures come out and all the stuff they've been doing, eating out of it, Sundays, all the stuff. Do you let yourself go there or no?
Do you play that game? I mean, you can only imagine, I guess. I don't know. I don't know what I would do.
No, you're trying to be humble. You guys are thinking about it. If you're not playing for it, I know you think about it.
Yeah. Dream about it.
You've been dreaming about it since you were 4 years old.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you definitely think about it, but
Canadian boy. You can't even be from Canada if you're not dreaming about winning the Stanley Cup.
I honestly have no idea what I would do if we won.
But you're going to do whatever it takes to get there. Yeah,
but absolutely. You're going to make that day the best day ever, right?
Well, you know what I will say is this team, and you guys, the fans know, this team was fun to watch last year, and I feel like you have that same mentality. It's going to be just as much fun to watch this year for the fans. I'm assuming... You talked about it. You said it several times. It's going to be fun. You guys have a good time playing for this team, and that's how you win.
Yeah.
Right? You go out every day, and you battle, and it's going to be tomorrow against Dallas. They're going to go out and battle and compete. Right? I mean, that's your bottom. That's what your focus is on.
That's why we're a good team. We play for each other. Like you go bring up block shots and stuff. Like you come back to the bench, everyone's on their feet. Just way to go, buddy. Like,
small things.
It goes a long way.
Maybe fans won't notice, but we'll notice on the bench.
Yeah.
But, it's just...
Oh, we notice.
Yeah, but I mean, well, it's just like, I don't know. It's just, it might not mean a lot to, you know, a spectator, but on the bench it means a lot to, you know, all the players and coaches. So, you know, well, yeah, exactly. Whether obviously the block shot or good stick or, you know, good outlet pass, you know, it's just small things add to a big thing.
The crispy sauce, backdoor. Yeah,
saucer passes, backdoor.
just jumping up in the play, making things happen, magic happen, Dante.
Yeah.
That's what you do.
Yeah.
Guys, thanks for doing this. Really appreciate you coming out. Best of luck tomorrow night against the Dallas Stars at Bridgestone Arena. Give it up, Dante Fabro, Michael McCarron.
Thanks for having us.
Great show. Appreciate it, guys. Thank you to everybody who came out here, Brewhouse South in Cool Springs. Hope you won something. I'm Darren McFarland. He's Hal Gill.
Cheers.
Had a great time. Have a great night. And appreciate you listening to Smashville Live. Stay tuned. Preds Insiders is next.